You know what time it is. Time to hang out
with Mr. Cooper.
With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper.
Get the ladies cool.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Hang with Mr. Cooper.
With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper.
Get the ladies cool.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Welcome to the Bit Scoop with Coop. I'm your host, Coop. Big shout outs to everyone that's listening on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to, big shout outs to you. If you want to catch the video version of this show, make sure you go to my website to catch full episodes at thebigscoopwithcoop.com. Also on YouTube at youtube.com/thebigscoopwithcoop. You can also catch a 15-minute preview of this episode right here on Instagram at Big Scoop with Coop. All right, people, enough about me. Today's guest, he has been in the ESPN world for many, many, many years. His career is nowhere close to being over. He used to be the vice president of corporate communications. Now he is ESPN PR content creator. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Mike Soltis. Mike is doing big things right now at ESPN. Like I said, he is ESPN PR content creation. He goes over everything dealing with PR and dealing with content that's going on social media, the websites, and all over. We're going to actually talk to Mike. We'll talk about how he started his career. We will talk a little sports also. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mike Soltis. To Mike Soltis, welcome to the show.
What an introduction, Coop. Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here and looking forward to talking over things with you.
Oh, of course, of course. How's your day so far?
It's been a good one. You can see out the window, it's a little dark. So we're recording this in the evening and we had a good day. We're heading into the holiday season here, but lots going on in the sports world still.
You're right about that. I'm in North Carolina, so we're getting that cold weather about to come and hit us anytime. So I'm getting prepared for that also. Now, Mike, like I told everybody in the intro, you have done a lot of things in this company of ESPN. You have seen the sports world from eyes that a lot of people have not seen them from. But we will start from the beginning with you. When did you first realize that you had a love for sports?
Very early on, my father, Joe Soltis, was the sports information director at UConn when I was a kid. And so I grew up around college sports and on the UConn campus. And certainly in the years that have followed from my childhood was long ago, you know, UConn became a national power in men's basketball and in women's basketball, didn't even exist back then. But as a kid, I was always at baseball games, football games, practice, you know, what have you, and just loved it all and immediately started following everything that was UConn and also have been a Red Sox fan my whole life. So was following, sorry with the hat there, but the Red Sox have always been, you know, near and dear to me. I think your team's off season's been a little more successful than mine, but we'll see what April brings.
That's true. That's very true. Now, don't let the hat fool you, because I'm wearing this hat because my wife bought it for me for my birthday.
All right.
Okay. March. I'm actually a Mets fan.
Oh, wow. And
yes.
Wow.
I am.
All
so
right.
I know I'm going to get ridiculed for this, wearing the enemy's hat.
Your wife got confused. Right, she was on Fanatics and got confused on which hat she was buying.
She walked into the store in Lids and said, had my little daughter and said, I wonder what hat she, what team does your daddy like? I think she said New York, but she didn't say the Mets. And well, here I am wearing this hat right now.
All right. All right. I like you more now, Coop.
Yes. Yes. Now, what type of hurdles did you go through when you first actually walked into the ESPN offices to start working for a career?
Sure. I mean, it's hard to imagine now, but when I started as an intern in 1980, ESPN was not particularly well known and we weren't very large and we were a singular ESPN network that was not widely distributed. So the biggest challenges in the early days, and I've been in PR the whole time, was talking to media and convincing them that ESPN was something worthy of their attention. So It's changed a little bit in those 42 years, but that was certainly the challenge in the early days of ESPN was credibility and have people understanding that there were a lot of good things that they could be covering about our company.
And that's true. And look at it now today, ESPN is the powerhouse. It's the monster in sports. So anything you need from any type of sport, you're going to find it right here. And you're right, from the 80s up to now, it seemed like it's been a whole 360 times 10 of a transition far as it goes into the sports world. So even if you're not a fan of sports, you have heard of ESPN. Those are four letters that everybody nationwide, not nationwide, worldwide, have heard of.
Our research people actually have done, on that particular point, have done studies over the years, and there's many years that the recognition of ESPN is greater than the recognition of who's president or the recognition of things that you would think everybody knows of, from McDonald's to Walmart to whatever. But the ESPN recognition, and then tied to that, we also get very high scores overall for the brand that most people do like us and appreciate us and are fans of ESPN.
That's so true. And like I said, ESPN is not going to die no time soon. I think it's going to be, as long as sports is going around, ESPN is going to be upstanding, doing everything that it's doing now. Now, let me ask you this. Did you have any mentors in the 80s when you first started in ESPN up to now? They helped you out?
And being at ESPN for 42 years, many people are surprised to hear that I've only had two bosses. Rosa Gatti, who was a pioneering women's executive, who was the one who initially hired me. And then Chris LaPlaca, who's now the senior VP of communications here. The two of them have been my bosses Rosa's retired now, but through the 42 years. Another person I throw into the mix was Beano Cook, who was a well-known college football commentator, but was originally a PR person in broadcast television and made the switch to on air and then worked at ESPN a long time. And he and I used to have lunch pretty much every Friday and was a great person that had wonderful perspective and a sense of humor. And the sense of humor I always appreciated, but always could get you focused on the right point and really valued that.
Wow. That, and you know what? A lot of people, even outside the sports world, can't say they only had two bosses in the last 42 years. You made history right there.
Yes.
You made it into the elite group.
two bosses that are legendary in the PR field. So I've been very fortunate.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, Mike, how excited were you when you actually received that role of vice president of corporate communications through your career at ESPN?
Yeah, it to get to that level and to get that position, which was now about 20 years ago, mm-hmm. you really just feel a great sense of accomplishment and understand that, how few people get to that level. And, it was a result of the success of ESPN, but I was able to play a pretty good role with it. And no matter what was thrown my way, was able to handle it pretty effectively. And so ultimately I did get that position. And, still over the years that have followed, the job keeps getting bigger and bigger and more interesting and things change on a regular basis. So I've been very fortunate to talk about, the rarity of two bosses while also the rarity of having one employer, other than, mowing lawns or bagging groceries as a kid. But one adult employer. So, and fortunately with ESPN, starting here when it was just starting and just being able to have it grow and expand and all, it's been as if I've been at new places, but the company, I've been able to stay, in the same Bristol address. This is about the 15th different office I've had, but the Bristol ESPN Plaza in Bristol has been the work home for all 42 years.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Bristol is the home. That's the headquarters, correct?
Correct. Yeah, mm-hmm. and has been right from the beginning. The founder of ESPN, who was the one who hired me as an intern, Bill Rasmussen, still alive and well at 90, and I reach him at my desk because just this week, I can do a book plug on a podcast. He put out a book that talks about the history of ESPN, and I just finished reading it, and it's excellent. But he had the idea originally to show UConn sports to the state of Connecticut. And it grew from there. And for me, fortunately, living in the state of Connecticut and going to UConn, it just was very fortuitous, right place at the right time.
Would you say that book that you just had up, is that a very accurate book timeline-wise?
Yeah, what he did with the book was he's 90 years old and he covered the sports history for 90 years and also the ESPN history starting in 1979 until today. And he goes in depth around the launch because that's what he was involved with and hasn't been involved with a while. But he has been an active observer and very much enthused about the success that ESPN has had subsequently. And so it's great. I mean, it's wonderful if you're 90 years old and you can write a book, which is already doing well on Amazon. And so it's for people that are into ESPN history or even into sports history, you know, it's a good recommendation for you.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, that's watching worldwide, make sure you go get the book. Go on Amazon. Mike, show them the book one more time so everybody know what to get.
Phil Rasmussen is the author.
There you go. One Giant Leap for FanCon. Make sure you go get the book. Christmas is this weekend, but order it now. Get it for your family, your friends, even your haters. Make sure you just get it for everybody. You want a good read? That's the book to get right there. Yes.
Well, Bill hired me as an intern. He will love that plug you just gave. So I'll make sure he's watching The Big Scoop with Coop.
There you go. There you go. Yes. Now, also, right now, I know you're actually the PR of content creation right now. Am I correct, Mike?
Yeah, the PR world has really changed a great deal in the 42 years I've been involved with it. And the biggest change in that is in PR people basically dealt with in media relations, where you dealt with media that you were hopeful would write stories about whatever you were pitching. But also, as they were writing stories, they came to you for information. A lot of times that would be on controversial issues. A lot of times it was just kind of basic. When's the game going to air? What announcers are going to go on? What have you? But in the last 10 years, but it's certainly accelerated in the last five, the content creation part of it becomes critical. The amount of newspapers have diminished, the circulations for that. So there's less media to relate to. So PR people today need to be able to create their content. So whether it's on the two websites that I work on, ESPN Press Room or ESPN Front Row, that tell you what's going on at ESPN, or on social media with at ESPN PR, we're telling the ESPN story every single day and trying to do that proactively and reaching directly to the sports fan or to the consumer that's watching television, and not as much relying on the middleman. Certainly the media still exists and certainly an important part of it, particularly in issue management, but content creation has become a focal point of anybody that's in the PR world.
Now, Mike, I want to ask the question everybody wants to know. How in the world do you get sleep? Because the sports world is going 24/7, and being in that PR business and that PR world, it's like you got to constantly have an on switch, just like this.
You're absolutely right, Coop. And that's both good and bad. The good is I love the energy that comes with sports and that comes with media and being the center of activity that's going on. But it never stops. You know, a lot of people, here we are in December, you know, just before Christmas recording this, and a lot of the world's about to shut down their professional life. But at ESPN, we have all those bowl games. We have the college football championship, Christmas Day, NBA, the NFL season's coming to an end. College basketball is heated up. And so the sports world doesn't stop. And, you know, the iPhone can ring any time of the day, and it certainly does on nights and weekends. So that is a challenging part of this job or any kind of PR job that is in a high profile position.
Now, Mike, I'm glad you brought it up. Let's talk about college for a second. I want to know right now, who is your pick to win the college championship football? Who is your pick?
I'd say Georgia. That might be the conservative pick. I think we go into the four semifinals, you know, with four teams that are capable of winning it. And I'm not sure that's the case every year, but I do think it's the case this year. So we'll see. It's going to be an exciting college football playoff. You know, a lot of the bowl games, which are already well underway, you offer a lot of exciting matchups. So, but the playoffs should be very good.
So what are the chances you think we will see a Georgia Michigan?
I watched a fair amount of Michigan this year, a fair amount of Georgia. They are two really high quality teams.
Yeah, I agree. And since I'm in North Carolina, so I was born, I'm jumping to basketball real quick. So,
all right, good.
Yes. So with me, I'm a Tar Heels fan.
Yep.
Born and raised Tar Heels. I remember when the Tar Heels came to my city, Rocky Mount, North Carolina, back in 1992 to play at our local college called Wesleyan College. Yep. And I had got George Lynch autograph, and then I tiptoed over to get Bobby Hurley's autograph.
Oh, all right.
But I seem like a traitor right now because I'm wearing this hat and I'm a Mets fan. I came to see the Tar Heels, and I'm getting Duke's autographs also. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on with me, Mike. I'm not going to lie to you. But, Tar Heels is my thing. How do you feel about the Tar Heels season so far?
Well, the great thing about the Tar Heels is, and having been here as long as I've been here, mm-hmm. pretty much every year they are going to deliver a big audience in college basketball. Certainly when they play your not favorite team, Duke, but really throughout the season, there's a handful of teams that you know are going to get a big audience whenever they're on. And the Tar Heels are one of a small group that always deliver. And from a TV standpoint, that's what you want. Duke does, of course. Kentucky always brings in an audience. You know, there's just certain teams. And then depending on the year, there are years that Indiana would bring it, or UCLA, or my UConn Huskies. But you know that North Carolina and Duke and Kentucky are going to be there every year delivering an audience on the men's basketball. And on the women's basketball side, mm-hmm. my UConn Huskies, from an audience standpoint, are number one and have always gotten the bigger audiences. South Carolina certainly is doing very well these days. And for a lot of years, Tennessee delivered that audience. But from a television standpoint, we're always looking at, you know, the name brands and who's going to deliver the biggest amount of eyeballs to the set, and your Tar Heels never disappoint.
That's very true. But I got to give a shout out to UConn also, because the women, like you said, they have it on lock like every season. I don't know what secret practice y'all got going on the off season. And I know you're not supposed to practice on the off season, but I'm just saying, you guys come out like, well, the ladies come out like they never stop. They never miss a beat, regardless if the roster change or not.
And ESPN is always delivering amazing stats every game, every day, every sports center. And the UConn women have not lost back-to-back games. I just saw this on ESPN the other day. They have not lost back-to-back games in 30 years. I mean, that is an unbelievable sports accomplishment. That sports is about having debates and things. I'd love to have the debate with someone who gives me a better streak than that. That's tough to top.
Well, I mean, you might as well cancel the debate show, because after the intro and you say that, go to commercial, show over. There's no comeback on that. There's definitely no comeback on that.
Yep.
But
that's the beauty of sports, is like you and I have never talked before, and yet we can immediately talk about a lot of different things because there's a common ground.
That's true. That's true. That's one thing in this world that can bring anybody together.
Yep.
Especially if I don't care if you watch one game, 100 games, or a million games. If you've seen something, trust me, you can talk about it. You definitely can. Now, I do want to talk about this real quick also. Franco Harris, it did get announced that, you know, he passed away. What was your memories of Franco? Because you've been around, like I said, the sports world for the longest. What is your memories? Well,
I mean, like everybody else, the Immaculate Reception, and you know, it's been called the greatest play in NFL history. But one little aside was back in 1984, when ESPN was not particularly well known, we threw a fifth anniversary party for ourselves and went about inviting lots of sports figures. And ESPN was not what it is today. And we weren't really paying money for anybody to come to our fifth anniversary party. And Franco Harris was by far the biggest star that came. So always have had a warm spot for him. Our reporter happened to, the day before he passed, to have an interview with Franco. And so, and said he was as, you know, he was as kind and generous with his time as he always has been. And you know, when someone in the sports world passes, it always is a, a great opportunity to kind of gather around ESPN and look at all the great success that they had. But you always get these wonderful stories that people tell. And that's what's been on my TV throughout the day today. You know, it's nice when you leave that kind of mark on the world as he did.
That's very true. That's definitely true. It kind of reminds me of my favorite team, Washington. And don't laugh at me, people just watching worldwide. Yes, I've been a Washington fan since 88, so I'm not going to change. When Sean Taylor passed away, you know, the same type of respect that's given out now for Franco, it seemed like that's what we got for Sean also. So big shout outs to the Steelers. Big shout outs to everyone, to Franco Harris family also, if you're watching this worldwide. Your prayers is right here. I'm praying for you and the family. Definitely am. Now, Mike, I do want to ask you this now. What other athletes, you don't have to name all of them, what other athletes have you seen walk through the ESPN building that caught you by surprise through your time working?
Yeah, you know, there's individual ones that, you know, that being the Red Sox fan, when I had the opportunity to meet David Ortiz, I mean, that's a great thing. The one that really stuck with me, it wasn't at our offices, but we did an event in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol in 1999. We had a series called Sports Century, which a lot of sports fans that are old enough will remember that, and really looked at all the great athletes and events of the 20th century. And we did an event at the U.S. Capitol to commemorate that and invited Muhammad Ali. And it was just so impressive. He got there early and did magic tricks where he was like pulling a Kleenex out of my ear and things. But when he came into the building, and here he is in the halls of power, he made the point of going behind the table to shake the hand of the guy doing the security clearance and the metal detector. The Capitol for years had the famous elevator operators, and we were going off without going in the elevator, but Muhammad wanted to go meet the elevator operator and shake his hands. And he spent time with anybody in the room that as we did our party. And that's what really struck me. I mean, here's somebody who is perhaps the most famous person on the planet at that point. And he always took the time, not just to, you know, he could have been shaking the hands with the U.S. senators and things that were in the room, but he wanted to take the time to meet anybody that he came into and connect with that person. And that's always stuck with me.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about, man. Now, I want to say right
the other
now,
one on a similar light, not quite as big and not an athlete, was we've had a lot of musicians that have come here for different reasons. And Garth Brooks came to our campus, and I forget what he was plugging, but he was doing a concert at night nearby here. And he was done with what he was done with at like noon. And he said, I'm just going to go sit in my hotel room in my concert. Would you like me to just hang out in the cafeteria and meet your employees and take pictures and sign autographs and what have you? And said, yeah. And he hung out in the cafeteria for 3 hours. Everybody lined up and he came through. And he just said, this is so much more enjoyable than sitting in my hotel room watching ESPN. I can be at ESPN meeting everybody that I love. And so, again, that's just, I like the people that want to connect with people and don't care what level or how powerful they are or what have you. And so Muhammad Ali, Garth Brooks, usually not in the same conversation, but there you go.
Well, you just took a jigsaw puzzle and you put those two pieces together and they fit perfectly. Big shout outs to Garth Brooks. Big shout outs to the Ali family. Man, please continue to join and watch ESPN and go into ESPN. I do have to say this real quick also. Anyone that's a sports fan, make sure you tune into ESPN, especially in the morning times. You got First Take, you got Get Up. If you're trying to catch up with everything, if you're on the East Coast, 12 o'clock, Sports Center comes on. I'm not going to name all the shows because this show will be over because they do too much. They really do. I'm not going to lie. But if you're behind in the sports world, make sure you start tuning into ESPN. I guarantee you will catch up with everything that's going on. Now, Mike, are there any other projects that you're working on right now that you want the world to know about?
The current focus is with all the bowl games, the college football playoffs. So, you know, we already did cover that, but, you know, it won't be that long until every other season kicks up. The beautiful thing with the sports world is it just keeps churning and there's always something to get excited about.
That's so true. Now, Mike, what's the best way for everybody to follow you on social media so they can keep up with what you're doing, especially in the ESPN world?
Thank you. Well, Coop connected with me on LinkedIn, so you know that's you can find me there. But the thing I do most with ESPN things is at ESPN Mike S on Twitter, and that's the best way to see what I'm up to and the best way to connect. So at ESPN Mike S, check me out.
Everybody, make sure you go follow Mike. Don't follow him right now because you're watching this interview.
Right.
After this interview, go on Twitter. Make sure you follow Mike. You never know what he's going to be doing next. You never know what he's going to post for ESPN also. Keep up with Mike. I'll tell you, this is a busy man. Make sure you keep up with him. Now, Mike, what advice would you give any male or female that wants to actually start a career in sports or even at ESPN? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, when I talk to colleges, a lot of times I tell them a couple of things. Go to job websites that exist in media, ESPNCareers.com, DisneyCareers.com, but there's a lot of others out there. And get yourself familiar with what those jobs are, because people a lot of times are surprised. They see the person on air and they know there's camera people and what have you, but they don't understand the wide scope of jobs that exist. So that's a good starting point. The other thing is this field is just very competitive, and people aren't getting hired without getting some experience when they're in school, whether that is internships or working for the school newspaper or the school TV station or whatever it is, to build up their skills, build up their writing skills, build up their video skills. But really just getting as much experience, as many internships as they can. So when they are applying to a job at ESPN or any number of other places that are out there in the sports world, you know, that can be a lot of fun to work at, you know, that their resume is going to be differentiated from everybody else. And there can be hundreds or thousands of people applying for that job that you have an interest in.
Ladies and gentlemen, go fill out a position. If you can get your foot in the ESPN, this is not a job. I'm trying to tell you, this is a career that you can make out of this. If you're a fan of sports, you love sports, you like being in front of the camera, you like talking, you like writing, I don't care what sport it is. Get in the ESPN. This is it right here.
If you're an accountant and you want to balance the books, you know, we've got books to balance just like any other company does. So there are, you know, we have HR people and lawyers and finance people, et cetera. So there is a lot of different kind of opportunity.
Go check out the job board. Make sure you do it right now. No. I'm going to stop saying right now, you're not leaving this interview till this interview was over. After this interview, go follow Mike on Twitter, then go check out the job board on ESPN. Now, Mike, this is the last segment of the show. It is called Take the Floor. You have up to 2 minutes to say whatever you want. No questions asked. Mike Saltis, take the floor.
Thank you, Coop. I would say we've talked a lot about my career, but it, really, if you're going to have happiness in life, you want to make sure that you got a good relationship with your family. I'm blessed. I've been married with my wife, Teresa, for 40 years. We have four now adult children, are all wonderful people and doing well in life. And also your health. You want to have good health. If you've got the great family and you're healthy, you're going to have the happiness. And the job can add to it, but you want those things. I had kidney cancer 7 years ago and now I'm perfectly healthy, but that experience, you do learn to appreciate what good health is all about. And you do understand that that's the starting point of a happy life. So that's my advice for being happy, is start with the family and your health.
I like that. I definitely like that. Mike, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I would love to have you back on in the future.
Great. It's been a pleasure. You bring a lot of passion to this, Coop, and I appreciate that. And I'm sure the viewers do as well.
Thank you. All right, everybody. Next time on the Bit Scoop with Coop, my next guest is, you know, I don't never announce my next guest. You better stay tuned and follow me on social media. All right, people, until the next time on the Bit Scoop with Coop. Peace.